Shanti, 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 peace, peace. Good evening. I welcome you with all my heart. It's good to be with you again. You have absolutely nothing to worry about. No matter how things may appear, all is well. There never was anything wrong, and there's absolutely nothing wrong now. We can only feel this when you understand your true nature, when you feel that you are not a body-mind phenomena. You are not the doer. You are the imperishable Brahman, absolute reality, consciousness. This is your true nature. You cannot be both. You have to come into your own and realize your divinity, that you are pure intelligence, nirvana, satchit ananda, ultimate oneness. Or you believe you're a human being. If you investigate, you will see that you cannot possibly be a human being. Human being is just a name given to an entity, for we don't know what else to call it. You're always changing, changing, changing. You're not the same person you were 10, 20 years ago. When you go to sleep and you're in deep sleep, you forget about yourself. When you dream, you forget about yourself. When you're awake, like you are now, you forget about your dreams and your deep sleep. Therefore, I ask you, what is your true state? Are you the person who dreams? Are you the person who's in deep sleep? Are you the person who exists right now? Who are you? What are you? You can only find out by investigation. You begin to see that your personal self is only a thought, an idea. A bad dream. You are not the person who is born, goes through the vicissitudes of life, dies, and that's it. When I tell you you were never born, it sounds ludicrous. When I tell you you can never die, it sounds even worse. Yet if you investigate and you trace it back, where did the firstborn come from? Who gave it birth? We can go into the story of creation. That will appease some people. But the thinking person knows it's a story. In a dream, there is no story of creation. You begin to dream just where you are. It just appears. The dream comes out of you, becomes externalized. There's a sky, there are stars, there are people, all sorts of things are happening. You go through experiences in your dream. You're happy, you're sad, you're mad. But yet when you wake up, the dream is gone. This life is called a mortal dream. You have to catch yourself when you take life too serious and compare it with a dream. When you take the dream serious and you become violently upset over something, and I try to explain to you you're dreaming, you will never believe me. Because the dream world is very powerful at that time. The doctor has diagnosed cancer. You've got 2 months to live. But I tell you, you're dreaming. Do not put your energy on that. Rather, turn within. See your reality. Understand that this is a dream. Will you chase me away? You do not want to accept that because no one else believes it. Yet you wake up in the morning and it was just a dream. Think about the problems, the wonderful experiences, everything you've been through since you were born. It appears so real, doesn't it? And even now, you are a product of all your samskaras, all of your preconceived ideas, your concepts, and how you were brought up and trained. This is your life. You do not know any other life but this. Yet every person seems to come from a different upbringing. Every person has their own beliefs, their own ideas. What's right, what's wrong? What is good, what is bad? That's how wars start. That's how man's inhumanity to man begins. When you believe I'm right and you're wrong. When you begin to see things that are not right, and you want to correct them. No one has ever told us, instead of doing that, dive within yourself and see perfection. See the Atman. See unlimited bliss. against its will onto reality. And soon your world will become reality. When you go to a movie, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. What is left? The screen. The movie was shown on the screen. And all sorts of things transpired in the movie. People were killed. People got married. People had children. The world was bombed. Yet the screen never changes. The screen remains the same. There's a story on the screen about a person who was born. He's sexually abused by his parents. He goes through all kinds of horrifying experiences. He becomes a man, he becomes a serial killer. All this is going on the screen. Then again you see a prince. A baby is born, a prince. He grows up into beautiful circumstances. Has everything in life. Doesn't seem to have a problem. This is too going on the screen. But there's an end. And all the images are gone. The screen remains untarnished, unblemished. The same as it was yesterday, and the week before, and the year before. My friends, your true nature is like the screen. You are not the image that appears to go through different trials and tribulations, or appears to be enjoying life to the utmost. They're both imposters. You are like the screen. There never really was an image. The image appeared for a time. It appeared due to the fact that if you tried to grab the image on the screen, what would you grab? The screen. That's why it's an appearance. It is hard to believe that your life that appears right now is unreal. Simply because you have identified with it strongly. This is what is called Maya, the grand illusion. You are strongly identified with your appearance of life, and you are reacting accordingly. Every time you react, you are accruing karma. Accruing karma simply means the image is continuing again and again, the ego becoming stronger and stronger. And even when you leave this body, it continues into another body. There's no end. You go through many cycles. Some good, some bad. You have all kinds of experiences. But until you realize that you are not the experiencer and there's no experience, you will go through the cycles of karma again, again, again. Ad infinitum. No end. It is only when you get tired of playing the game called Maya, playing a part called Leela, that you decide to find the answer to your existence. You have to go through the game over and over again and finally begin to search. You become a seeker. You begin to read spiritual philosophy. You may find a teacher. And you're on the path. Depending upon what you do, this determines where you go from there. When you come to a meeting like this, when you attend a satsang like this, you can rest assured that you have done spiritual work in a previous life. You deserve to be here. To understand the reality. To understand how to transcend the mind, the ego, the personal self. As you begin to practice self-inquiry, witnessing the I Am meditation, things begin to happen. You're searching for self-realization. Whereas all this time, self-realization has been exactly where you are. You have always been that. Yet you believe you've got to search. You've got to read books, deep philosophies. When all you had to do was to wake up. All you had to do was awaken. Just as when you awaken in the morning from your dream, you awaken. It's the same thing now. You simply have to awaken. Yet what is keeping you from awakening? Your attitudes. You are attached to your emotions. And you are saying things in your life that either appear wrong or either appear right. As long as you have a concept of right or wrong, you can never transcend your body and become free. Some people ask, but things are right and wrong in this world. I have to take a stand. My question to those people are always the same. To whom is there right and wrong? Who feels right and who feels wrong? Only the ego. In reality, there's no right and there's no wrong. They're just experiences of a dream unfolding. Yet the dream doesn't exist. It never did. The world as it appears right now does not exist. It never did. The way you believe you are does not exist. It never did. There is only one. And you are that. There never were others. There's only the one. Yet most of you cannot feel this. You're so identified with Maya that the world of appearances causes you to feel emotional. You therefore have to work on yourself. You have to do something to yourself. To help you become free. If you leave yourself alone and you do nothing, you'll go through life after life after life on various planets. You'll have various bodies, female, male, maybe other bodies. It will never end for you. Therefore, you begin to question your existence. That is the first step. You question your existence. You question your existence by inquiring, who am I? Where did I come from? What is my real nature? You start this early in the morning. As soon as you open your eyes, instead of becoming cognizant of the world, you leave the world alone for a few minutes. You question yourself, you ask yourself, who is awake? And the answer comes, I am. I am awake. Then you realize, I also slept. I slept well. I had a good dream. And you start to wonder about this. The same I that is now awake is the same I that had a good dream and the same eye that slept well. Who is this eye? What is its source? There is a spiritual center on the right side of your chest. You may call this the God center, or consciousness. It is on the right side of your chest. You begin to trace the I thought back to that center from whence it came. Once the I goes back into the center, you become liberated. Therefore, the whole idea of spiritual practice in Advaita Vedanta is to follow the I thought back to the source and become free. When the I appears to leave the spiritual center, it goes into the brain and you become cognizant of I am. I am the body. I think. Then you create a world in the universe out of your mind. And the world appears to you as reality. This all happens in a split second. That's why you're not aware of it. In other words, while you were sleeping, the eye rested in the spiritual center. As soon as you awaken, in a split second, the eye goes into the brain, you become cognizant of a body, and then a world, and then a universe, and the mortal dream begins. So, you have to vehemently make up your mind that you really want to awaken. That's the first prerequisite. How do you know if you really want to awaken? You're sick and tired of the world. You're a person who is no longer trying to change bad for good. For you realize they're both imposters. You understand that the good lasts for so long, then there is bad. The bad lasts for so long, then there is good. You get old, you leave your body, and the game continues. You have to be disgusted with this first. I kid you not. As long as you believe you're enjoying the world and enjoying your life as a human being, you cannot awaken. It's like being in a dream and you're having a wonderful dream. You just don't want to wake up. But all things in the dream must come to an end and change. If you realize that the only thing permanent in life is change, then you will treat the good things in your life the same way as the bad things in your life. You will not become emotional over them, and you will not be attached to them. That's the only time you can go further. As long as you still want to play the game of Maya and act out your part, there's no sense in practicing self-inquiry. For your attachment will keep you back from reality. But for the person who has gone through many lives and is ready to give it all up, that person can practice self-inquiry. A question arises. When I become self-realized, do I have to go live in a cave or in the forest or become a hermit? On the contrary, there are yanis in every field of endeavor. Yet, who asked that question? The Ayani. This is one of the things you should not concern yourself over. Everything will always work itself out. Many of you call me on the telephone and tell me you're afraid of awakening. You think you'll be different. Your family will leave you, you'll leave your family, you'll lose your job. This is all ignorance. None of that will happen. The only thing that will happen is you will be awake. And you will see the world as a superimposition on the self. That's all. You will have exceedingly happy moments in your life when you're in delusion. But the happy moments go. When you are awake, you stay in unlimited bliss. You become unlimited bliss. There are no longer any mood swings. You're always the same. Joy, bliss, happiness. They're all rolled into one, and they are you. So a sincere student does not worry about the results or what might happen. They are ready to go for it. When something in their heart opens and they're ready to go for it 100%, they are led to the right teacher who can show them the way. And they follow the instructions of the teacher. That comes first in their lives. Those are the beings who awaken into bliss. You begin to practice again when you get up in the morning. You realize it takes a split second for the eye thought to go back into the brain. So you keep inquiring, what is the source of the eye? and you keep silent. You can imagine in your mind, if you want to, the life force going back from the brain into your heart. You begin to cogitate, you begin to focus on your spiritual heart. How do you do that? Through silence. You ask, who am I? And you keep still. You see how still you can become before thoughts begin to annoy you. When the thoughts come, you inquire, to whom do they come? They come to me. I think them. There's I again. It's always the same I. You therefore follow the I back to the spiritual center, which is silence. As you keep on practicing, day after day, as you keep on doing your homework, the day will come when something happens. Many people give up too easy. Never look for results. This is why, even before you get to self-inquiry, another thing you have to develop is humility. Total humility. You forget about what people say, what people do. You observe the world, but you do not react to it. And you begin to practice every day. You begin to understand that the I thought doesn't exist. It never did. This is why you do not concentrate on the I thought. You concentrate on the Source, which is the Self, God, consciousness. If this becomes difficult for you, you practice surrender. That's where the humility comes in. You surrender your body, your mind, your ego, your affairs, to God, or to the Self, or to your heart. You no longer need or want anything. You give it all up to God. I know some of you are wondering, how will I function? What will happen to me? I can assure you, if you truly surrender, you will always be taken care of. You will always be guided and directed to where you have to be, to do those things that are necessary for you to do at this time. You become spontaneous. you learn to live in the eternal now. You always bring your mind back, your thoughts back to the present. You remember to catch your thoughts when they start thinking. Your thoughts will always think about the past and worry about the future. This is the nature of your mind. Yet you keep remembering to bring it all back to the now. You stay centered in the now. You surrender everything. And you keep inquiring, who am I? How did this body arise? The body, the I thought, the mind, the ego, are all the same. Soon you will awaken. And you will understand that there is only the self. There never was anything else. Your real nature is like a universal screen. On that universal screen, planets are being born, universes come and go. The earth is only a small dot on the screen. You are that screen. You are nothing else. You are Para Brahman, all pervading. You are self-contained consciousness, absolute reality. Emptiness, nirvana, satchitananda, I am that I am. That is your real nature. Therefore, make up your mind. Whom shall I follow? Shall I follow my ego, my emotions, and what appears to be real? Or shall I begin to ignore those things and dive into myself, becoming free? The choice is yours. Embracing what?
Embracing. You said there's either one or the other, right? Embracing your emotions or diving into yourself. At some point, isn't there some kind of, where there's a lot of paths involved with transcending that emotion by using it or diving into it, transforming it into a spiritual?
Well, all of the paths and really all of the practices are a hindrance. They appear to be working for you sometimes, but all they're doing is keeping you on the path. the secret is to wake up and stop thinking you're in the past. In the beginning stages, you can say I'm on the past. But as you advance, what path? There's no path. There's only the self.
In that dream, you're embracing the self, really, when you embrace anything so-called outside of yourself.
Well, you're not really embracing the self, you've become the self. That's your nature, that's what you really are.
Yeah.
Everything else is false.
What I'm getting at is that it was appropriate for me at any given time to sort of embrace the self outsider. You know, it's like diving into the self inward, but you're diving outward into the self.
How do you do that?
I don't know. That is just a feeling.
If you're diving outward, you're diving into illusion. Because anything outside of yourself is a projection of the mind. Therefore, anything that you entertain outside of yourself is a total illusion. It doesn't bring you nearer. The only way to do it is to realize that you are an emanation of your mind as a body. Your body, the universe, everything in it, emanates out of your own mind. So you want to get rid of your mind and the illusion will become transmuted. So you investigate what the mind is. You dive deep into the heart and you become free.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking about something that wasn't used as a practice or anything. Something that
Well, Jay, guru worship is like, you know, if you worship your guru, he's outside of you. So, in what you're saying about, if you dive into, you know, love or, you know, becoming one with your guru, then that's an outer practice.
Well, worshiping your guru is a waste of time. Worshipping the self as the guru is where it's at. The true Satguru is really yourself. Not separate. If you're seeing a guru separate from yourself, that's for an illusion. And it can be sucked back into bondage very fast.
But you also feel transcend the situation of your life.
Well, what?
You can transcend. I mean, there seems to be an element there that you can transcend whatever one was believing about it and realize the truth just through that, though it doesn't occur as much. I mean, just as much as it can suck you in, it can also lead you to realization.
There's only one way to become realized. That's to understand that the world is moving. The universe is Maya. Only the self exists and awaken to the self by diving deep within. I understand what you mean. But those paths and those ways are difficult. It takes you years and years when all you have to do is to dive within yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I was really mentioning that as something that wasn't in and of itself. I mean, I agree with you totally, diving within is one should always be doing that. But once in a while also, there seems to be some changes that occur and one does some other things along with that lead one to some significant...
The changes appear to be there.
Yeah.
But you and I both know there are people on spiritual paths that have been on spiritual paths with 50 million incarnations. And they never get off it because they're worshipping something external to themselves.
What I hear you saying, Robert and Jay, and my understanding, and I may not be understanding it correctly, is I hear Jay suggesting that another way, less direct, is to allow oneself to become absorbed in something external, maybe an activity, maybe a person, but in an egoless fashion. And that egoless fashion I was interpreting as the key to slipping back to the state where you were wanting or suggesting that we go. But then I hear you saying that, yes, that could work, but it's a very long route, and it will take a lot longer than the more direct route that you're suggesting. Am I understanding, or?
Yes. If you are egoless, you are the self, and there is no path, there are no others, there's no God, there's no universe, there's no realization, there's no liberation, there's no bondage. Therefore, if you are the self, you are the self, and that's it. But if you're trying to find the self outside of yourself, that's a bad dream. For there is no self outside of yourself.
It's an impossible undertaking.
Of course. Only the self is the self. There's nothing outside. Nothing exists outside the self. Therefore, when you start fooling around with yogas and mysticism and occult sciences, you're perpetuating illusion. And you get stuck. You have to give it all up. Surrender everything. And become free. Most people still feel that they have to change bad for good. Remember, they're all human attributes. We're not trying to change bad for good. We just want to awaken out of good and out of bad and become the imperishable self, which we already are. Therefore, there's nothing in the external world that can do it for you. I know some of you are thinking, well, how about you, Robert? You're doing this for us. You're helping us. What is really happening is I am yourself. The one self is operating and appears to be going all through us. There's only the one. There are no others.
Could you tell us about, I heard a tape the other night that you guys made here where you said that you had an enlightened experience when you were 14. And I'd like to hear, like, what happened? Did you feel your mind go into your heart? Or did you, what was your experience? How did you get along with your parents or your friends? Or what was that reaction? How did you?
Well, we've been over that before. It's all in the lessons. I ran into that right now.
All right.
By listening to my experiences, you do not become free. You become excited. Rather do the work and make something happen to yourself.
Last week, Robert, I said, asked you if it were not so that everything in duality is short of the goal, and might it not be also said that nothing in duality is of any importance?
Correct.
Thank you.
Robert, I've often had a concept of the nature of objects and the dissolution of objects, including my own ego or idea, that is, I think of the stars and how in their own time the stars will break up and dissolve, and that there's nothing in the universe that will hasten or slow down that process, that there's some kind of mechanism. And, you know, I understand that this is a concept that I have, but it seems to me that in terms of my desire to be free and watching the impediments in my life, the forgetfulness or the whatever, the attachment to the world, the illusion that I identifying with my body and my mind, that I have the sense that, in a way, that there's nothing that I can do to speed up that process of letting go. Is that correct?
That's a very high state. When you realize there's really nothing you have to do, that everything unfolds by itself. Everything takes care of itself. It's a paradox. First you believe you have to practice spiritual disciplines, and after practicing spiritual disciplines you come to the conclusion there's really nothing you have to do. When your time is ready, you will become where you're supposed to be. But to get to that point, you have to practice spiritual disciplines first. So it appears. To find out that you don't have to practice anything. If you center yourself and you live in the eternal now, acting spontaneously, everything comes faster. Therefore, the main thing you have to do is to keep yourself from thinking. Stop your thoughts at all costs. slow down your mind.
I'm not clear though, the slowing down the mind, again, this is kind of a general impression that I have of many people who practice different spiritual practices to slow down their minds, that even that though does not necessarily bring you freedom. There are many people who seem to have, it's impossible for me to know, but who have quiet minds who aren't free. And maybe that, maybe the process is a longer one or one that's out of...
They appear as if they're not free. Mm. Yet if you really slow down your mind, you have to become free. Because it is your thoughts that keep you bound. A person may appear to slow down their mind externally, but internally all kinds of things are going on. That's why you can never judge another person. Work on yourself. Become free, and then you'll see.
Who slows the mind down? Who is to slow it down?
The mind slows down when you stop thinking. It slows itself down.
Who is this you continue to refer to?
You is no one. No one exists as you.
If the you as ego is going to slow the mind down, this won't work.
It will not work as long as you believe your ego is slowing the mind down.
Well, who slows it?
Nobody.
Nobody.
But it appears as if it slows down.
What brings that about?
Illusion.
I mean, you slow it.
It's illusion. It's all illusion. Hmm. It appears as if the mind slows down.
Then the rapidity of the mind is equally illusion.
Of course. Hmm. You also appear to awaken when you've been awake all the time.
Okay.
Well, the idea of pacing or slowing down the process, that's just the concept of time. So if the mind's not working, there's no time to worry about whether things are slowing down or speeding up.
Nothing slows down, nothing speeds up.
Just the concept of time. So if you're not, time is the mind.
In talking to you, sometimes I use those contradictory terms. But there's absolutely nothing to slow down, nothing to speed up. You are already free.
What this stuff about the right heart, about the right side of the chest, that seems...
Again, that doesn't exist. But you have to do something. Wake up. You have to wake up, but because you won't wake up, then we have a talk. And you hear me babbling all day. Simply because you will not wake up. When you wake up, none of this exists. It has never existed, it never will exist. But by talking to each other, something may give inside of you sometimes. And it may be an awakening process. So when I share this information, I'm sharing nothing.
When you say that none of it exists or has ever existed, that is totally inclusive. So everything perceptible, thinkable, or cognizable.
Correct.
That would have to be. Otherwise you'd be a liar. Who would be? Nobody, of course. That famous character.
Is the process of the awakening, can it happen in little glimpses in one's life, or does it have to be always in one fell swoop?
The true awakening comes at once. Prior to that, you appear to have consciousness. But the consciousness is not a true awakening.
Well, because I didn't stay awake. I had a couple of glimpses in my life, but I didn't stay there. I wish I could have.
So we're not total glimpses.
Right.
The total glimpse is now and forever.
Mm.
And there's no going back.
So glimpses are just another part of the dream?
Yes.
You dream that you're enlightened.
Yes.
They're a clearer part of the dream. They're less dense, but they're nonetheless dreams.
Dreams. It's all a dream.
Could be a glimpse of the fact that it's out of it.
Say it again.
A glimpse of the reality would indicate that reality is not of it.
A glimpse of reality makes you want to go further. But it's all part of the Maya. When one is awakened, there is no past, there is no future, there's nothing.
There'll be no going back tomorrow.
No going back at all.
There's no going.
There's no coming, there's
in
no going.
In any direction. Mm-hmm.
There never was a coming or a going. There's no one to go anywhere.
So the self is it's a concept. You can't conceptualize it, but it seems like you used to learn that God is and always was, and this is sort of like the self never was and never will be.
You can say that, yes.
The self is the absence of everything.
Yes.
So sort of a void.
That's a good way to put it. Yet it's not a void. It's beyond description.
So it's the absence of everything, including any description of it.
Exactly.
Absence of anything that you can conceive.
It's absence of the void, too.
That's just another concept.
Yes. That's why words are so inadequate.
Robert, I saw a program about last week. It was on the mind, and it had to do with a man who was this brilliant conductor, and he developed a virus which affected the memory part of his brain, the attention part. And they said this man, the term they used is that he lived in the eternal presence, because he only had maybe two minutes worth of memory. So every 2 minutes it was as if he was constantly or continually awakening. And at this level of perception, it was a nightmare because he couldn't carry on a normal life. But he was in a constant state of awakening. In fact, every 2 minutes he felt as if he was coming out of a coma. And he would put down in his diary, "I am now awake. I am now alive." And he would put down the time, but it was like every 2 minutes. And this was his life. And from this standpoint, the eternal now was a nightmare.
This is a flaw of the mind. It has to do with a mental concept. It's part of the mind. It is not a real awakening. A real awakening would be bliss and joy. It would be entirely different. It's obviously part of his brain that was not functioning then.
Right, it was, but it was interesting because we, part of the practice is to live in the now.
Mm.
And that means to just forgive the past and not to focus on the future. But carried to its ultimate state at this level, this is what this man actually was doing. He had a memory of the past, and he could not even think about the future. All he could do was focus in this tiny moment. And it was just interesting to be shown this, but from, as you say, from a mental level, at this level of life, it becomes a nightmare because we still use the mind as an avenue of awareness and the body as a means of communication.
A real awakening is your cognizance of the world. You can make decisions, you live a normal life, but you realize what the world is. You always realize you're like the screen. And everything in this world, in this universe, is a superimposition on yourself. So you're able to function, and you're able to do things and go through life. That's a true awakening. But what you're referring to is a mental flaw. Yes.
It sounded like he was the nightmare for him. He was anticipating the end of those 2 minutes. He wanted back into a state of seeming
to him and oblivion. He wasn't anticipating anything. It was a constant awakening of 2 minutes before that he felt as if he was in a coma. He couldn't remember seeing anything, he couldn't remember hearing anything, he couldn't remember carrying on a conversation. So in effect, every 2 minutes, it was an awakening for him, and he was joyous at being awakened. And he would have joy at seeing somebody in front of him, and he would always think this is the first time he's seen this person. And he was happy to be out of the coma. But he wasn't able to carry on a normal life.
Robert, when a person becomes fully awakened, they're totally not attached to anything in this world, right? They're disattached, they're just not attached to anything, even if, or they don't have any attachment. Would that pose a problem, if that's the case, would that pose problems for those around you, your family? How does one deal with that?
There's really no problem. For a true awakening is an embodiment of love and compassion. Mm-hmm. And you're able to function, as I mentioned before, but you're only aware of the reality that everything is Maya. Everything is a delusion. It didn't really exist, and you can see it. So you're able to function with your family with a greater love and a greater understanding and a greater peace.
What is the point of all of this?
All of what?
Bingo. That's the best answer ever.
When one is dreaming, things happen on his own accord. One cannot rearrange the dream, one cannot do anything. It happens, seems to happen also as in the usual awakened state. Things seem to happen on their own accord. In the dream, no matter what you try to rearrange or do, things will happen on their own. Same way in the awakened state, in our state, we try to do whatever. By instance, like even self-inquiry is doing something inside of the dream. To what effect? Nothing is going to be arranged to that. The awakening will happen on its own.
The awakening will happen on its own, that's true. But part of the dream is practicing self-inquiry to hasten the process. That's also part of the dream.
Because that's not considered in the usual dream. There is no way. Is there some impulse which makes you awake when you are dreaming?
There are many people who have a dream that are practicing spiritual practices in their dream. And they awaken. Then they also wake up in their hair.
No, what I mean is in the usual, regular dreaming state of the Ajnani. By instance, the awakening will happen when it's time for the awakening to happen. Because they could be, in no matter what circumstance, within the dream. And try as they may, they will still follow with the illusion. I think the same happens in this awakened state. You want to wake up, no matter how much you want to wake up from the illusion. Even trying self-inquiry, trying meditation, trying spiritual practice, you won't take to nothing because this is just part of the dream, even the effort.
Of course, it's all part of the dream.
What I mean to say is that it seems that the awakening is part of karma. It will happen whenever it has to happen, regardless of the efforts one does in this awakened state, in the Ajnani position.
The only freedom we've got from karma is not to react to conditions, to dive deep within and wake up. That's the freedom we've got.
But if we do that with the hope of waking up, still it means that you are doing something with a purpose, and so you are more entranced into the dream.
But you were meant to do that. That's part of it.
Oh.
You were meant to do that and awaken. This is what you were meant to do. You follow?
Yeah, I understand.
So you do have to go through part of the process, which is part of our karma, which would lead us to the awakening.
Not necessarily. Everyone is different. We can just awaken by doing nothing at all. But it seems that when we turn within and we practice self-inquiry, we've come a long way. And we're ready to awaken. That's why we learn to practice self-inquiry. There are millions of people on this earth who try to practice self-inquiry. They couldn't do it. They're trying. They're not there yet. They're not ready to awaken. It seems that when you're ready to awaken, you're led to a teacher who tells you what to do, which is all part of the dream. But it's a hastening part, and you awaken.
But that's what you meant by the hastening part, because you're drawn by karma to teachers.
Yes, that's how it appears.
So there's no free will.
The only free will we've got is not to react to any conditions. And to turn with them.
That's what I was thinking, Rose, that actually it's karmic that you find the interest in self-inquiry or the interest in a practice like that which would guide you or lead you to awake.
Yes, that's karmic.
And what makes the karma is your effort in some previous time.
Yes.
Towards the goal. So you keep making effort when you're on that level, then it's the best thing you can do. It, right?
That's why I mentioned before, people who are in a class like this, a satsang like this, have earned it. If you pull the average person from the street into satsang, they would go completely mad. They couldn't stand to hear this. It would be like a fire eating them up.
You know, there's something I was thinking that might express it clearly, maybe even in your rear, something like that is, if you're dreaming a regular dream, you have no control over it. You don't know. You know, you don't know what next is going to happen. You don't have control. But if you study with someone and you learn how to awaken in the dream, they call lucid dreaming, then you can wake up within the dream and change the dream. You have to control, you're awake within the dream, and then you can wake up to this world. So it's like self-inquiry is like that situation where you use it when you're trained in it to awaken from this dream. And then you're free. You can do anything you want or whatever it is.
You're partially right. But in that dream, you kind of awaken.
But you could—you have the freedom when you lucid dream, when you attain that goal, whatever. You have freedom to do anything that you want to do.
When you're
and
dreaming.
That's sort of awakening from that little dream there. And it's just a simile. They can't talk for each other.
They're separate states.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The dream world has nothing to do with this world.
But it seems like the process is scaled. I mean, it seems to be very similar, self-similar forms. Like when children learn about dreams, the first step is they don't know what dreams are when you ask them. And then the next step, they begin to think that you see their dreams. So when you walk in the room, they're amazed that you can't see their dreams. And then as they develop, they start to realize they're just mental events. It seems like the self-similar form of this state of consciousness. So that's why the metaphor seems to work so well.
You can say that. We should stop
metaphorizing, huh?
Thinking about dreams, because dreams hold us back. A lot of value is put on dreams these days. Dreams are really totally meaningless, just like this world is meaningless. There's no substance to this world. The world is an illusion, it's a lie. So is the dream. By paying attention to your dream, you're giving substance to nothing. Something does not exist. And it pulls you deeper into Maya. What you should do is to realize that your dream state is a lie. And what you call the waking state is a lie. Transcend them both and become free. Make it simple for yourself. Do not become entangled in words or in dreams or in concepts. Simply realize you have to wake up. And you have to do whatever you have to do to wake up. We've got some for shot to chew. Figs.
There's a little stem that if you just take off, might be more beneficial.
Not the body, nor the mind, nor the ego, but that you are consciousness itself. All-pervading, absolute reality, Satchitananda Power Brahman. That is your true nature. God bless you. I love you. Peace. Until we meet again. I was going to say until we meet again, but you dropped that song.
Oh boy.
But some of you may take it the wrong way.
Just wishing us liberation. Nicest thing you can think.
I have one announcement to make. Because of the situation with parking, it seems
appropriate to try to carpool a little bit more, especially if there's some complaints that might be from the neighbors. So whenever people can to carpool, then we'll have less cars.
I also have an announcement too, please. We have some more of the transcriptions. They're coming a little bit faster now. I have, let me see, two different transcriptions. The one is I am conscious of all is well. And I have three